Hey ladies, welcome back.
This is episode 128 and I am talking to Winter Pitts. I do not know if you're familiar with her. You probably are. She's lovely. Really have enjoyed meeting her and getting to chat with her. She is a girl mom. She's got four daughters. She's got twins. She is a, surprised as anyone, homeschooling mom. She did not even expect that, which is really funny because when I interviewed her a couple weeks ago, I was a homeschool mom that never expected to be sending my kids to public school. But they go on Monday. It just makes me want to sing. There is a song in my heart, friends. There's a song in my children's hearts, and because of that, there shall be a song in my husband's heart. At the first day of school every year, I make them some homemade cookies, and we come home and have milk and cookies and talk about the day. And it's kind of fun because I don't let them talk about the day until we get home and have the milk and cookies. So they enjoy trying to talk about it in the car ride home and me telling them they can't talk about it. So I don't know. It's just the thing we do. Well, now that they're having another first day of school in February, they get more milk and cookies. So they're excited about that. And frankly, I'm excited about the cookies too. But I digress. Today, Winter and I talk about so many things. How we handle all the hormones, all the fighting with the siblings. How do you get your kids to spend time with God? How much do you push it? What does that look like? Breaking the cycle of poverty in your childhood. What happens when your daughter is a movie star? I mean, things you don't really just get to talk about with just anyone. I have to stop real quick, though, and circle up the wagons. I have not done this for way too long. Did you know you had a wagon? I need you to join the circle, please. You guys are the voluntold members of the Mom Struggling Well Marketing Department. It isn't really anything you asked for, but is the mantle that I am bestowing upon you. Several of you already know, but those of you who are new here, I just need you to know it's kind of like an expectation. And I don't want it to be an unspoken expectation. It's like a spoken expectation. You don't get any money, don't really get any like acknowledgement or anything, but you better be doing it. I need you telling people. Because I don't have money to rent billboards, you guys. The first thing that I just thought of it when I said I don't have money for that is my bathtub recently broke, and so I turn the water on in my bathtub with a wrench, guys. A wrench. I do not have a marketing budget. I don't even have a bathtub handle budget. Okay, so listen, March 3rd, I'm giving you a little prep time because I'm thoughtful. March 3rd is a holiday you may not know about. It's called I Want You to Be Happy Day. It's not going to show up on your calendars, but it showed up on my Google search, which means it's true. This holiday makes it so easy for you to share about the podcast. All you need to do is find somebody, probably a girl, maybe a mom, but more and more, there's non-moms who are so welcome here as well. But it's I Want You to Be Happy Day. And so all you do is you find a person who you want to be happy. Show them that you care by recommending this show. It's that easy. If you each shared it with 100 people on March 3rd, we could take over the world. I do not know what we would do with the world, but we could take it over. It's just a thought. Okay, enough of that. You may uncircle your wagons. I really love this talk with Winter, and I'm sure that you will too. So let's go ahead and get started. Will you tell us about yourself, please? Your family?
Yeah, I'm a wife of almost 15 years soon, and we have four girls. And they are 13, 11, and my twins are 8. Okay. And it just, that feels really crazy to say. Yes. Everybody's old.
They are. Isn't it different when they kind of can do their own
everything? Like I have one fixing lunch for herself right now. It's great.
I love that. Yes. So good. Okay. So I read that at first motherhood wasn't like your super favorite.
No.
You thought it would be great, but it was just theoretically great. I feel yeah, you, girl. Yes.
It's one of those things that you say, like, I want to grow up and I want to get married and I want to have kids, but I also wanted to, you know, be an astronaut and a lawyer and a doctor. All in the same life.
Yeah.
And when reality actually sets in, those things sometimes look a lot different than the dream or what we thought it was going to be. So I just had this vision of I wanted to be a mom and it was going to be great. And it wasn't. It was dirty and it was messy and it was loud and it was busy and, you know, it was taxing. And I was, but at that point, it's too late, you know.
Yes, it is too late. I feel that. So what do you think, like, helped change that? Because I think a lot of moms don't want to admit that they are not super into it.
I think it was that one, being honest. I had somebody tell me once, and I just love it. This is kind of my life thing all the time. It's just once you accept, like, the reality, then you can live in it. And then you can accept it for what it is. But you have to acknowledge that, like, okay, this looks different than what I thought. Like, it doesn't make me a bad person. I love my babies. These are people I prayed for. Like, I prayed for healthy babies. So acknowledging that it just was not this glorious thing that I thought it was going to be. And then being able to live in the mess that it was, which is, I say mess, but it's the beautiful mess. It's a great mess.
It is. I think that's so good, because I think sometimes it's either I'm not going to acknowledge it because then I'm not a bad person, or be honest and acknowledge it, but then shame yourself for thinking it, you know, doesn't have
but
to
no,
like
it was neither. And then it was a lot of prayer and a lot of like just surrendering, like, okay, God, this is, you know, one that these, my children, my family were actually things I prayed for. So it was actually answered prayers. And it was kind of like, God, thank you, but now no thank you. You know, like, what is that? You know, so it was really getting my heart right there, even just being honest and like, okay, God, these are answered prayers. You gave me this. Now, what is it that you want me to do?
Yeah. You know, and you found that it got better.
Yes, I think it got better. And it's funny because nothing about the actual process of mothering young babies, they were all five and under, you know, for a while there. Like, that was, the twins were born and my oldest was five and the middle girl was like three. So it was just, you know, chaos. So that didn't change, but my heart changed and my perspective changed on the whole deal. And that's when it got better.
Okay, that's good. I think that gives moms a lot of hope, because sometimes they think, you know, you're kind of trapped for 18 plus years. It can feel like that.
No. And I think once my perspective of on the whole thing changed, it didn't feel like I was trapped. It was just, this is life. And this is where we are. And I can either sit in my room and cry about it and say, you know, God, what are you doing to me? Or I can like go out and enjoy it and just accept that I've got a house full of babies and dirty laundry. And, you know, what are we going to do? We got to get it done.
Yeah, so I love it. You have a book called She Is Yours. I'm looking at it right now. And I talk openly about how my relationship with my daughter is tricky. It's very tricky. And for various reasons, most of which I think she contributes, but she would think I contribute the most problem. Anyway, I love this book.
That's nothing about what you're talking about.
I know.
My girls and I all have perfect little relationships. So no idea.
That must be so nice. Okay, so I love the book. I just want to share a little bit about it for people who don't know about it. Your husband has written. So it talks about the relationship between your daughter and the Lord, your daughter and you, and then your daughter and the whole world. And I think such a well-rounded thinking of her as an entire person. I think sometimes we forget that our children are people, you know, because for so long we have to do everything for them. But I love the perspective of your husband, your perspective, the practical things, the things you've messed up. It's just so real. I really appreciate it as someone who's like, what do I do with this girl who's only getting more hormonal? What?
Yes, yes. Every time we think like, okay, this is it. She wakes up and there's more. There are more hormones. We're like the oldest one. She's 13. And we just are like, okay, here we go again. There's another wave we're riding right now. But I think that was the biggest thing for us, for Jonathan and I, in writing the book was, you know, we didn't want it to be just like a how-to and a know-it-all kind of book. It's like, no, we're 13 years into the journey, but we are in the journey. We are on the journey. We are in the middle of it. And so we just wanted to share things that we're learning. Mm-hmm. But in sharing what we're learning, it's also sharing things where we messed up while we had to learn different or new perspectives on all of it. So,
yeah. It's really helpful. So I appreciate it. Whether you're a busy professional, a parent on the go, or you're just looking for high-quality supplements, Ora Organic has the cleanest and most delicious nutritional products available. In a lot of supermarkets now, you walk down the aisles and you see all the sustainable cleaning products, organic potato chips, vegan ice cream. Well, Ora Organics wanted there to be some conscious nutritional supplements as well. And to make it convenient for you, they offer a subscription service that's free to cancel or you can skip, and they provide all your nutritional products. So you get convenience, 20% off your products, and no more running to the drugstore. On purpose, they don't include any ingredients that they don't think are necessary. Everything's organic, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, non-GMO, and they don't contain anything artificial. I'm currently using their plant-based omega-3 spray and their protein powder, and I really like them. To try Ora Organics and get 15% off your first order, go to ora.organic.com and use the coupon code MSW at checkout. That's oraorganic.com, coupon code MSW. So you're passionate about raising your girls to be who God wants them to be and introducing girls to Christian values in a way that's like palatable, you know, not like boring. Yeah. And how do you recommend moms do that?
Just by making it not changing God's word, but really helping them to see it in like their everyday in their lives. You know, we want them to know the values and we want them to know the foundational points, but sometimes it's hard. Like what, you know, my 11-year-old is kind of like, but what does that have to do with, you know, the fight my friend and I just had or the science test that I have coming up? And so what we try to do in our house anyway is just our faith is not just something we talk about at the dinner table or just something that we kind of do on Sundays. It's just weaved throughout our entire lifestyle and our entire day. So my kids will probably say like, oh, my mom always talks about the Bible, always talks about God. But I hope that they say that because we really do. But really in a way that's just like, hey, well, you know that, you know, whatever they're dealing with, we just kind of weave it into their lives and not expect them to understand it or apply it the way that we do. But really just trust that once they have God's word in their hearts, that he'll do what he does with it and make it applicable to their lives.
Yeah. Are you seeing them take it and run with it?
Oh, absolutely. Which is funny because that actually becomes hard to watch.
Really?
Because, okay, so like you say, you know, you say we want to raise like selfless kids and we want them to be fearless and we want them to, you know, stand up for Christ and all these things. Well, that also means that sometimes they're the kids that get their feelings hurt or they're the kids that are not the popular kids. Or, you know, one time I remember watching my daughter was so excited that she ran down the front. I'm at a church service. They asked for some volunteers and she was so excited and she ran down. And then he just said, oh, it's too many. We only need, you know, like three. Mm. And so like 70 kids had to turn around and run back.
Oh, gosh, tell that at the beginning.
And I watched my daughter be one of the first ones to just turn around and run back. And that sounds like a simple thing, but that was a moment that I was like, because I was kind of like, no, Katie, you stand there. Like you, you know, you were one of the first ones there. Like that's what my mind wanted to say.
Right.
And then in my heart, I was like, no, actually, that's what I've been trying to tell her to be selfless, like to do that, to be the first one to turn around and let somebody else go first, you know? So saying that and then watching that happen and the more complicated the situations get actually just bring me to my knees even more because I'm like, Lord, like these are the things you're telling me to teach them. But how do I watch that happen as their mom?
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot. Okay, so there's so many feelings with girls, and you have four of them, and you said they're being, like, really catty with one another right now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know when to step in and when to just let them sort it out? And that's just a lot.
Gosh, if you could see me, I'm just shaking my head right now. It's a hard place to balance. We have certain rules that are just, you know, like, of course, there's no hitting your sisters and there's no like shoving them out of your room and slamming your door and just like these big things that are like, those are not allowed. But then after those things, it really is just balancing and a lot in prayer and wisdom and just kind of like, okay, Lord, sometimes it's easier to just let them fight, but are you asking me to go in there and like step in the middle of this? Mm-hmm. Or am I needing to listen and just kind of watch how they can handle this? Do I pull them out and say like, okay, is there a better way to handle this and walk them through what that needs to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we do a combination of all of those things, just depending on what they are fighting about. And it's starting to, honestly, right now for us, they're 13, 11 and 2 8-year-olds and we share rooms. So the 11 and the 13-year-old share room, 2 8-year-old share room, okay. Not a lot of space. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of like, there's a lot of arguing, a lot of fighting. And so it's exhausting, but we really are just trying to be wise about when to step in, when to walk them through and when to listen and see how they handle it themselves.
What about when you feel like one like is constantly getting picked on by a different one? Like, I don't know, part of me just wants to step in and like defend, but that's not that helpful.
No, and it's true. I think we address both because we have that happen actually. And we address both of the girls separately, but about the things that they need to be addressed about. So the one that is constantly being picked on, it's, you know, do we throw tantrums or what's the best way for you to handle this right now? Like, can you speak up to your sisters and use words to say like why this is bothering you and, you know, what it is, how you would prefer that they treat you, you know, like giving her the words to use to kind of stand up for herself instead of kind of being the victim of the one being picked on.
Yeah.
But then it's separately pulling the one that's doing the picking and saying like, okay, is that the way you need to treat your sisters? You know, how do you feel about that? Do you feel good in your heart about what you just did?
That's a good question.
You know, so, but really separating them and addressing, you know, both issues, but just separately and differently.
Yeah. Okay. So I asked in my Mom Struggling Well Facebook group, I said, I'm interviewing Winter. Tell me your questions. And I got a ton of them. And one of them is when they're having all the feelings that they're having, I mean, do you just let them do it? Or do you kind of say, you're really freaking out about this like kind of tiny thing? I mean, obviously that's patronizing and we wouldn't want to say it like that. But how do you manage the feelings?
I think, again, it's a balance and it's one that we are walking right now, but it is just acknowledging that feelings are real, but they're not based on truth.
Yeah.
And they can't drive action.
Mm.
So just acknowledging, like, if she needs to vent and needs to talk and is having emotions and, you know, and I say she at that point, it's any one of the girls at any moment, like all day long for us. And so if that's wow. letting, you know, giving her space to let those things happen, but then not letting her, we can't just sit in our emotions or in our feelings because that opens up place for the enemy to come in with lies. Like we had to find the truth in the emotion. So this is what you're feeling, but what do you know to be true
so good.
About this? Like if your sister hurt your feelings, but do you know that your sister loves you? You know what I mean? Like, so just finding the truth in whatever the emotion is that's happening.
That's so good. Because sometimes you just want to say, fine, just walk around and be mad then. But they need space, but they also need to be kind of pulled out of it a little bit.
And not saying like now all of a sudden, like, okay, I gave you your 3 minutes to be emotional. Now let's put that happy face on. Like, I don't want them to be fake, you know, but it's just even if you're in your emotions, like, okay, it's time to come out because you know that you're loved and you know that, you know, whatever the thing that you're dealing with, you know that there's truth around that. So slowly, it may take some time, but slowly we need to see you starting to come out and live in truth that you know and not in the emotions that you feel.
Yeah. Well, and I think, how do you handle it when, like, you're a person too and you also have feelings and they freak you right out?
Really, what we do is we pray for my husband. That's what we do. Like, okay, because between the four girls and myself, sometimes he's the one that is, and he has his emotions too. You know, they're different, sometimes he's the one that just has to kind of step in and say, like, a timeout for everybody and let's open the Bible right now.
Oh, I love that.
So, yeah, but I think being a mom of girls is that, like, because we are just big girls, you know? Yeah. So the same things that our girls are dealing with, we're dealing with. And so
it's
the same thing, like making sure that we're operating in truth and staying in close relationship with Christ to not let those feelings run wild in the way that we are interacting with anybody, especially not our kids and our girls.
Yeah. I know for me, I take it personal. Like when she's not happy about something, I think, well, for all the things I do for you, like, you know what I mean? Her emotion does all kinds of things to me. And I'm actually learning, she pushes my buttons, right? So I can like think about a bunch of buttons. And then I just try to think of like a surface with no buttons, like just a blank surface. That's me. I have no buttons. It's so hard and kind of dumb, but
there is some reality there. There are buttons, but we just have to figure out like,
hide
when
them.
She pushes them, how we can keep them low and smooth.
Yes, it's really, I had no idea how mentally exhausting parenting
is. I think it's hard. I mean, it's so true though. It's just hard, like, to not take our kids' actions personal, especially when you feel like you're pouring in everything you have. You know what I mean? Like, you're giving them like the best of yourself, and then they walk around and like sucking their teeth at it. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And they'll go from fun activity to fun activity to fun activity. And okay, so speaking of fun activities.
Yeah.
Your daughter was in the war room. Love that movie.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is that I do all my podcasting and I spend a lot of quiet time and a lot of praying in my closet. So I'm like, I get this. I identify. So let's talk about how that was with the dynamics of everything. And how did you keep her from thinking she was all that? Or is that even something that she struggled with? I know if I was a movie star as a kid, I would think I was amazing.
Totally. Like, which is why I'm so grateful. And I just honestly, like, I almost have to pull her humility is almost pride because she's so humble and so quiet about, you know, things or whatever. And I'm kind of like, but then you have to acknowledge that God has done some pretty amazing things.
Yes.
So finding the balance, like, cause she is totally humble. Like, you know, we still run into people and they're like, dude, do I recognize you from somewhere? And she's just looking at him like, did you go to this school? Did you go to this school? Were you in my Sunday school class? And I'm like, Alina, you have to say, like, have you ever seen the movie War Room? Like, for her, she would just never acknowledge that she was ever in a movie because to her, that's bringing attention on herself and it's not about her. So I'm very grateful that God has kind of just protected her and kept her in that humility. And now we're just walking through, like, acknowledging, like, okay, but God has done some pretty amazing things and you don't take credit for them, but you've got to give God some credit for
that's
some
a
of
good
the
point. Because, yeah, she had no background. Like, I heard the story and it's like from out of nowhere.
No, she had never been even in like a school play. Like, there was absolutely no background in actual like acting or acting classes or anything like that. And so she auditioned for the part just kind of as a Priscilla actually said, you know, knew that there was a little girl in the movie and Priscilla plays the lead, Elizabeth, in the movie. And she just said, you know, hey, I have a daughter in this movie. Like, you should let Alina audition just for fun. And that's really what we thought. Like, Alina's, she's firstborn just all the way. And so anything you put in front of her, she's like, let's do it. I'm going to go for it.
Okay.
So she just was like, let's just go for it. We just thought it'd be fun. And we just could not believe, like literally, like we could not believe when she got the part. It was like, we're like, are you sure? So even like, I remember the first day on set, like Priscilla's looking at me, I'm looking at Priscilla. We're like, you know, they know. They chose this, like, you know, and then she opened her mouth and we're like, oh, she can do it. Like, she's going to do this.
Wow. So. And now Priscilla is your cousin.
Priscilla is my cousin.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to keep it all straight. There's a lot of you. You're kind of a big deal family. I don't know if you know that.
We're just family. There's a lot of us.
Oh, is that kind of humility? Kind of like your daughter? I don't know.
Not as good as
you. You might have noticed that the music at the beginning of the show was not my normal music, and you're going to get to hear more of it at the end of the show. I have the opportunity to tell you about Josh Lovelace from Need to Breathe, and he just released his first solo album, and it's a collection of 15 songs that your kids will love and you will also love. That does not happen very much. You know that's true. He has special guests on, like Ben Rector and Ellie Holcomb, who, if you have been around here for any amount of time, know that I freak out about Ellie Holcomb. This album's been praised by NPR, Southern Living, Huffington Post, and now the Mom Struggling Well podcast. I'm sure being part of my show has been the highlight of those. The album is called Young Folk. You can get it on Amazon using the show's affiliate link and through his website, joshlovelacemusic.com. It's really, really good music, and your whole family's gonna love it. So head to joshlovelacemusic.com and download Young Folk today. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, so let's talk about twins.
Yeah.
How do you help twins be individuals, or is that a problem?
They're fraternal and they are complete opposites.
Okay.
So we have not had to do too much. I'll tell you both sides of it. Like in school, you know, I've asked, you know, if you had to separate them because they're in the same class, and the teacher is never, they're in third grade now, and there's never been a problem. Even when it comes to their birthday parties, they have separate friends. Like, You know, Olivia invites her friends and Cameron invites her friends, and they just have separate friends.
Do you have the parties together?
We have the party together.
Okay.
Because I'm not crazy. They have one birthday. We're having a party together. But I'll do let them invite you. I'll say, Olivia, you can invite three friends, and Cameron, you can invite three friends, or two, or whatever it is. Okay. But the area that we have had to be careful in is grouping them together when it comes to the one-on-one time and addressing just their personal need from us, because we just say the big girls and the little girls.
Okay.
And so that's Alina and Caitlin would be the big girls, and we'll do separate things with each of them or kind of find what they love. But when it comes to the twins, we're like, well, y'all are both doing gymnastics, or, you know, like the little girls are doing this. And so we've just really had to balance, like, okay, actually, they are completely different people. And They may actually, one may want to go for ice cream when we choose a special date, and one may just, you know, want to go for mac and cheese, which is pretty accurate, actually, how different they are.
Okay. How do you manage, like, going out in special events and stuff? Do you and your husband take one girl, or do you divide and conquer two each, or what?
You know, it's funny because I didn't answer this about your part with Alina, but this plays into it, too. I think one of the things that's been great is that we've got four kids. And so even when one is experiencing something special or doing something special, like Alina with the movie or whatever the case is, we have little sisters all the time. Mm-hmm. So a lot of everything that we do together. Now, there are separate times, like Jonathan has, you know, separate birthday dates that he does kind of a special one-on-one date with the girls or whatever. But mostly it is who wants to come with me, who wants to go with daddy, or we're all going together.
Okay.
And just finding the special moments in that group time or in our at home. Like, yeah, I'm going to go and just be with Caitlin right now. But it's not as plans like we have daddy dates once a month. Like it is not like that.
Yeah. Well, I love the idea of just like finding the great moments in the thing you're already doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to circle back real quick to the movie star thing. I find it fascinating. How did the other girls react to all of that attention going to Caitlin? Is that the one?
Caitlin is right under Alina.
Oh, Alina is the one who was in the movie.
Yes, okay. Alina is the one who's in the movie. It's funny because that sounds glamorous to everybody else, but they got to see the work that it actually was while she was on set. Like, she was only 10 when they filmed the movie.
Wow.
And the one thing we loved about the Kendrick brothers, who were the directors and producers, is they all have a ton of kids. And so there were constantly kids all around that were not a part of the movie.
Oh, okay.
So Alina would have to go to work and her sisters would get to go and hang out and go do the fun things that were happening. So it actually kind of played the opposite. Like, she was the one that was kind of like, wait, what are y'all gonna go do? You know, and they were like, we don't want to be extras in that scene because we don't want to be here all day. So they totally were not wanting to be movie stars or interested. They were excited, and they still are, like, super excited for everything that she's doing. They're her biggest fans.
I love that.
Book series out, and they were the first ones to read her books. You know what I mean? They were dressing up as Alina for character day at school.
No.
All that. But when it comes to like the actual work of it, they're like, no thanks.
Okay. Hey, that I certainly didn't think it would play out like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're currently homeschooling your middle daughter.
I can't believe that those are the words that are true.
I got to tell you, you got to change your about page because it says, I'm not a homeschooling mom. And I read it. I'm like, yes, you are.
We've been homeschooling now since January, 5th or something. So it's a very new concept. So yes, I need to go address that.
You need to change that. So I get a lot of questions about that, and people get all in a tizzy about schooling, which is good because, yeah. I mean, you got the one shot with the kids, right? You want to do the best thing for them and the best thing for you.
Get the one shot. Yeah.
Yeah, really. I mean, you can change every year, but, you know, when you set the trajectory, it's a big decision. So how did you arrive at that for someone who's trying to kind of sort through those things?
I think it is exactly that. We've got the one shot. Earlier this school year, I've kind of felt God tugging at my heart about something different. I just could feel like something different needed to happen with school. And we love our school. So I didn't know. And I've always said I wasn't going to homeschool. Like, I'm not the homeschooling mom. So I didn't know what that meant or what that looked like. And then just as we got into the school year, I really just felt more and more like, I think Caitlin is supposed to be home. Like, I think she just needs. And it was that. I was like, I've got this one shot with her before. And I don't know that it's forever, but she's in fifth grade. And I was like, you know, before she goes into middle school, like, just this one, if we started in, you know, in January, it's just a couple of months of just the two of us having some time together. And when we went to her, to the school, and kind of talked to her teacher, which they were super supportive, her teacher said to me, you're never going to look back and say, I'm so mad I took that time out with Caitlin. There's never going to be a thought where I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did that. Like, it's going to be, I'm so glad we spent that time together.
I love that the teacher said that.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And because I was nervous going in because of that, I was kind of like, what is she going to think? And it's not personal for her. We love her as a teacher. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so to have her support was, it was just extra special. But yeah, so we just, you know, for a little while, I was looking at Jonathan and he's just looking at me like, I am not organized. I am not an early riser. I am not, like, all these things that seem like typical, like what you need to have in order to homeschool. Like, I don't like clutter in my house. I'm like, where are we going to put her books or her fold? You know, just all those things. So he's looking at me like, Winter. And I'm an introvert, so I like my alone time. He's just like, but more and more, I was just like, I know that this is what I'm supposed to do right now. And so we just made the decision.
What was her thoughts about it?
Oh, she was super excited.
Okay.
Which surprised us because she's really social.
Okay.
And she loves her friends. She loves having friends and kind of the life of the party. But there was something in her that was just super excited about spending some one-on-one time together. And for her, that is this. We're kind of rubbing it in the other girls' faces right now. We're having fun with that.
Do you think you'll do it with the other girls?
You know, if you'd asked me in August if I was going to be doing this with any of them, the answer was no. So I say no, but a very loose no, because we just don't know.
Okay. But you think she's going to head back to school after a period?
The plan, which we're not good planners, but the plan is, that we're just going to do this before going into middle school. But honest, like, you know, we've only been doing it for, you know, I don't know, a couple of weeks now. And more, I can slowly start to see, like, maybe we will do this a little longer. But we don't know. We've not made any decisions yet.
I love how loosely you are holding it, because I think we can be really afraid that we're going to make the wrong choice without realizing, I mean, then put them back in school if it didn't work.
Then I'll just, she'll go back to school.
There will still be school next semester.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. So you work with so many women, or your focus is on girls. What do you see as, like, the biggest issues that keep coming up, like, in a general sense? What's it hard for young girls to, like, understand?
The thing I think is the hardest for girls to understand is just who they really are in Christ, which is hardest for, I think, girls, women, whoever, men, just to really understand that God really does have a plan for our lives. Like, we really are his daughters. The same way we're talking about playing in school for my daughter, like, God is God. And so he's concerned with that and just the core of who our girls are. Now, I think that plays out because that's just a big topic and a big thing to tackle. So I think that that whole idea of our identity and how we actually practically live that identity in Christ plays out in a lot of different things. And the younger the girls are, it plays out different. So right now, one of the big things I think, you know, is social media and they're, you know, the mean girl kind of thing that's happening all over television shows and movies and all that thing, just the mean girl. But I think the core of all of that is really understanding our place and our identity in Christ. And I do have thoughts and, you know, we in our house, we have different policies and thoughts on social media and on television shows and on how much time we do this and all those things. But really at the heart of it, I feel like I just want to constantly be addressing their identity in Christ, because the stronger their foundation is in Christ, not that those things won't be hard to fight and navigate, but you have kind of a trajectory, you have a plan, you have a path. And so even those things are kind of there and you got to work through those, you're working through them from a secure place in who you are. So it's a healthier path, even though it'll have bumps on it. It's a healthier and clearer path once you address that foundational piece.
Okay, so how would you say, like, maybe you see that your daughter is choosing clothes that are not quite modest. They make you uncomfortable or whatever. And you know, that's coming from a place of, I want people to look at me. I want people to love me. I want to be beautiful. So what do you do? Throw a blanket on them.
I don't do the practical things. I don't know.
Right. I just think it's hard to know, other than saying, you're valuable, God loves you. Like, how do we get it to sink in?
Yeah, it's funny because we have things like, you know, right now my 13-year-old is taller than me. She can borrow some of my clothes. Her shoes are bigger. Like, so there are things that sometimes she'll put on, kind of like, we're not going to wear that today. And that is just, you've just got to go change. Like, we're just not going to do that.
Yeah.
Now, if it is really like I want people to notice me, if I start seeing that happening more and more, I, you know, do think that I can say to her, you know, that God created you beautiful. Like, there's, you don't need the attention of others, all those things. But really what I feel like what we do is just in our everyday, it's how we live. So it's in the time we spend together as a family. It's in how my husband treats them. It's in how I dress. It's in how she sees me interacting with people around me. Mm-hmm. I just think we have to make sure that we're weaving it in, because I can open up the Bible to her and say, like, this is a scripture and this is why I say that you shouldn't wear that. And this is why, like, based on, you know, whatever the verse is. And she can look at that and she can say, like, okay, that's great. But what I'm finding is the older she is, because really, in just a couple of years, she's going to be able to choose what she wants to wear. Like, so that's not going to be, you know, me saying like, okay, this is because this verse says that. God's word has to have a place in her heart where she really feels convicted by the word of God. And so it feels like not an answer, but it kind of really is my answer. Mm-hmm. So instead of me like constantly just addressing the rights and the wrongs and the whatever, what I really want to address is making sure that she has a relationship with God and that he has a place in her heart. So even though, like, I'll say, yes, you need to take that off, you can't wear that, what I really want to make sure we're working on is that you're spending some quiet time with God and that he's speaking to your heart, not just to mommy with my words, like, but that you can actually start to decipher for yourself. Like, you know what, maybe right now, because at 13, like, you know, if you're seeking attention of too many other people, like, and I can bring that to your attention, like, hello, as kind of a flag. Mm-hmm. But I want her heart to also resonate with what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. So how did those look and when did you start them?
On their personal time and their personal relationship?
Yeah.
Well, I think really little. I don't think it's ever too early to start. Okay. And at times it was really just, I don't know, it's really simple. Like, let's just sing a song or let's memorize this little verse or whatever. And then as they get older, it's more and more time of that. And really just now at 13, 11, and 8, we really say like, okay, this is what we talked about at Family Devos tonight. When I say this, I just want you to know that sometimes this is really like messy and not organized and thought through. But our heart is this. This is what we did at Family Devos last night at dinner. You probably didn't hear us because somebody was chasing the dog and somebody was asking, you know what I mean? But this is what we talked about. So tomorrow morning, before, you know, you do whatever, if it's a weekend or school day or whatever, before whatever, I want you to take some time and read this verse and take some time or read this devotional or read this whatever. So we kind of set the foundation and the groundwork. And then like, okay, now everybody, you take some time and go read that for yourself. And then tonight at Devotions, we're going to talk about what you thought about that, not just what mommy and daddy thought about that. So as they've gotten older, we've given them just a little more freedom and a little more responsibility in their own time and not just us leading it and guiding it.
Okay. Is it something that happens like in order for other, like if you want to watch a show, this is like one of the things you do each day, or how does that work? Can you tell I'm really structured in type A?
Yeah, I was going to say, I am so not. So oftentimes, especially on weekends, my girls and my family are up before me. So if that was the case, then they wouldn't be able to watch TV for a very long time. So I just, you know, when we all get up and are together again, then I trust that you guys have done it and we'll talk about it. And if you haven't done it, then we're going to address why you didn't do, you know, what you were supposed to have done before now. Like, I just, we're kind of a loose, not very structured. We're structured in idea, but not in practical, like, method.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as long as it happens, it doesn't really matter. I just, my brain puts things into categories and boxes and things like that.
And I totally run from categories and boxes and check marks and color coded things.
Okay.
I am so the homeschool mom.
Oh, but you're still doing it, and I'm sure you're rocking it. Okay, can I ask you a question? How is identity affected by being a woman of color? Like, are you seeing that that's different now than it was when you were little, as far as, like, I mean, me being white, I know that feels like there's lots of different color models and lots of different colored dolls now and all that kind of stuff. But I know that that is not everybody's experience. So how is it different for you as a young girl than it is for them? And what's still the same?
You know, I don't think that there are many things that are actually different. If anything, I think it's the same.
Okay.
And I don't say that in a negative way, like, we haven't, there's no growth and, you know, all that. But I say that because what I want my girls to see themselves as, more than Black females, I want them to see themselves as women of God and children of God, which is what I believe you want your daughter to see herself as.
Certainly, yeah.
And so that's where we start. Now, there are many things that are different. Like, God has given us all these differences. And so there is some reality that, like, okay, you are Christian girl, God's girl is kind of what we say, but you are God's daughter and you're Black. Like, what does that mean for life? Really, it means different things. When it's just such a lot to.
I know. And I'm not trying to. Yeah. I just think that I think a lot of people don't know how to ask or are afraid to. And I know that there's so much tension with African-American boys and men. And I was wondering what that is like for young women.
Yeah. One, I think raising an African-American son right now is completely different than raising an African-American daughter right now. I don't necessarily know how I would address that specifically. Yeah. Just be, you know, we just don't have boys, and it's just a different thing to try to tackle. But I think when you start from coming from the place of, like, okay, we're God's children and there's sin. And now what do we do about that? You know what I mean? And so it's important for me to show my girls African-American women in leadership and women that are African-American women that are just doing amazing things for the kingdom and for our society and their influence and all that. And I want them to see that that is there and that is possible. But more than that, like, I want them to see women that are living for Christ. And I don't know that my answer is a typical answer, but it's really where we feel. And I know that we're not colorblind and all that. I think that's just kind of silly to say, because we all have colors and we all have differences. And I teach my girls to acknowledge that. But it's also a very different, our family dynamics are a little different. My husband is mixed.
Okay.
So my girls have a German grandmother. You know what I mean? So we have to just say, like, hey, I want you to see Black women that are doing amazing things, but I want you to see, you know, white women, Asian women, and just women that are living their lives for Christ and just doing amazing things and just tackling this and tackling that. Because more than anything, I just want my girls to be influencers, not just, like, be the result of influence, but to actually be an influence on the world around them. And so they can do that because of their differences. And one of their differences is that they're African-American girls. And that's just, that's it. But there are also, you know, lots of other things that are different about them that they'll be able to use to speak into and shine.
Yeah, I feel like it would just get really hard to not get bitter if you felt as if you were treated differently all the time. And I think, I mean, maybe I just have a bitterness problem, but I think I would really be angry. And so I don't know.
Yeah. And I do think having my husband's mother, you know, like, we can't be angry at white people. Like, that's so silly. You know, like I can't have my girls do that. Like,
it would make Christmas really awkward.
Yeah. And it, you know, but that just puts it in the very lighthearted kind of way. But that's really the reality anyway. It's just kind of silly to be angry. It's like, we just have to acknowledge, like, okay, this is where we are. We're different. How do you do your hair? This is how I do my hair. Like, let's just talk about it and let's just move on. Like, not move on as in ignore it, but let's acknowledge, like, we're different and that's okay. And this, you know, and not, I don't want my girls to be treated different But the same way, I think if you really break it down, there are lots of groups in our society that are treated different. And it's not always based on skin color.
Right. I agree.
Really just seeing the sin in all of it.
Yeah.
And really just addressing it as a sin. And just this is how yes. we are called to live, even if nobody else around us is doing that.
I mean, that's the gospel anyway, right?
Easy to say, hard to live. But, yeah. You know, this is where we are. So.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for asking that. I know it's a little, yeah. I don't know. I just wanted to ask about that.
And I am so, just so you know, like, it's been a gift for my family, just our backgrounds and our mixes, my growing up in the inner city, my husband growing up as a mixed Black and German kid. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I really have no problems ever talking about race or, you know, you can't ever say like something that I would be like offended. Like, it's just kind of like, hey, Black, I'm white. What do you want to know? Like, here we
yeah.
go. Like,
that's so good because I think there needs to be safe places, but I just feel like I'm going to say the wrong thing on accident, but my heart is to just learn more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you can't learn more if you don't ever say it or talk about it. So
that's true. Okay. So let's talk about that. The inner city, you said on your about page, I guess, I don't know personally, but you grew up without a dad around and you grew up pretty poor.
Yes. So I grew up inner city, Baltimore, Maryland, like right in the city. It just people that have been to the harbor now, it did not look anything like it looks right now when I was growing up, but we lived really close to there. My dad was addicted to drugs. Mm-hmm. And so from the time I was one, we lived with my grandmom. So my mom was raising my brother and I just as a single parent.
That is not an easy thing to get out of those cycles. So
no.
How did that happen for you?
People always thought I was really smart. Now I'm like, their standards were just a little low. But
oh, stop.
I was smart. So I did really well on some standardized testing. And a teacher said to my mom, like, you know, you should have her tested to go to one of these private schools, which was a completely different. My brother had gone to, you know, just the regular zoning schools or whatever. So this was just a completely different concept for my mom. But okay. I look back now and I'm like, I'm so grateful for her faith because she just kept walking, kept taking steps, even though she had no idea what we were walking into.
Okay.
And so she took me, like, we drove, it was about 45 minutes from my house to one of this private school and took a test. And I did really well on it and ended up getting scholarships to go to this like kind of elite, you know, little Roland Park country school. So it was wow. this elite little all girls college prep school. And it was there. So literally I'm one of those kids, like I took two buses every morning
wow.
From sixth grade through 12th grade, completely across town. And as I was on the bus, like I could completely watch life change.
Hmm.
I mean, just driving out of the inner city and into the area where my school was, I could just watch life change. And I did that, you know, for every day
wow.
For all of my school years. And so just that exposure of being around people that are different than you, just that
yeah.
exposure. And it wasn't just people that were different from me because they were white and I was Black, but it was people that were different from me, you know, their family circumstances. They were two parent homes, you know, mom and dad had these big extravagant jobs or where they spent spring break. Their financial status was completely different. So it was just me being immersed in situations that were completely different than anything that was normal in my house.
What did that do to you in your brain? Like, what did you think about that?
For me, it was exposure and it opened my eyes to life different, that there was more, that I didn't see it like they can do that and I can't. It was like, oh, I can live here. You know, like
this
I can
is a thing.
This is a thing. Like we're really, and that's my heart for even just, I think that happens in inner cities. You live within your boundaries of very urban inner cities and kids don't see what else is available or what else is out there. And so I think once I started to see that, it just put new goals in mind. I didn't call them goals at the time, but it was just kind of like, well, okay, I'm gonna do that then.
That's great. Yeah, I have a friend, Chris, who grew up on a farm and now she takes kids from Dallas, from the inner cities and takes them out and shows them like, this is a blueberry. This is
yeah.
a, you know, and they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know. So,
yeah, this is my husband laughs at me all the time because I literally grew up, we had a cement backyard. And that was totally normal. Like, I did not know that backyards had grass.
There
you I mean,
go.
We had a cement backyard. We had row homes and the, you know, it
Listen,
was maybe
no
a
mowing.
Grass.
That sounds amazing.
Right. And so it was, so Jonathan laughs at me all the time because he's like, you had a cement backyard. And I'm like, that was so normal to me until I got to see like, oh, people have grass in their backyards. So that's the reality though, for like lots of different things about life until you're exposed to something different. You don't even know that it's an option.
Yeah. I'm glad you got that opportunity. Okay. So we're out of time almost, but I wanted to ask you just one more question. What is
okay.
something like in your life that you cannot stop talking about this very minute?
Oh my gosh. An electric blanket.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I did not know the beauty that is in that. Jonathan got me one for Christmas, and one, I'm pretty selfish with it. He got a twin size.
Oh, like, well, you have to be selfish with it.
Like, because he doesn't know the beauty that's in it. But I literally have been talking about that nonstop. I'll randomly just be like, do you have an extra blanket? You need one. Like, you need one. It is just wonderful.
Okay, so is it, can you feel like the wires in it, or?
They're in there, but really it's just soft. Okay. And you can set a little temperature. And if I get a little too warm, I just turn it down a little bit. It's just fantastic. Okay. And it's not like hot. It just feels nice and cozy.
Not like a giant heating pad or something.
No, and it's not heavy. So it doesn't feel like you're, you know, something weighty on you. It just is nice and cozy and soft.
Wow.
So you need one. You need an electric blanket if you don't have one.
I think I do need one. Yeah. We do live in Texas, though, so it isn't like that cold. But it does get cold.
But no, it doesn't matter. It's just cozy.
Okay.
And if you need to, turn the air on. I mean, but it's worth it to have the blanket on.
All right, I'm trying it, Winter. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate your honesty and all that you do for young girls.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Wasn't that just great? Lots of topics covered. Loved her wisdom. Took a lot of notes myself. I hope you did too. So what could our strategy be to struggle well this week? So important to take one thing away and go, hold it. I might be able to be not terrible at this week. This whole motherhood thing. Maybe I have what I need to do it well. Maybe when you look at your sweet kiddos, you think to yourself, all week, just make this your one plan. These children are answered prayers. So when you look at them, think, oh my gosh, my little answered prayer has lost his shoe again. Oh, my little answered prayer is super mad that I didn't buy her chocolate bar at the Walmart. I'm just kidding. Sorry. But really, they're answered prayers, right? And if we think about it that way, it's really going to change our perspective. My friend Elisa is always saying, what you look for, you will find. And if we look for them as answered prayers, we will find such a different perspective. Maybe this week you take that first awkward step from your faith being more cultural, like you just go to church because that's what you're supposed to do, to actually applying it to your life and your kids' lives. It's going to feel weird, and they might look at you like you have seven heads. But ask God to help you relate what his word says to their issue that they're having at school or with cleaning their rooms or whatever. Help bring their faith into real life. Just try it this week. Just try it once if that's not something that you do. Ask God. He'll help you. Maybe like Winter suggested, when your kiddos are having feelings, you can kind of interrupt it, pull them off the crazy cycle if they're not willing to get off it themselves, and say, listen, this is what you're feeling, but what do you know is true? And kind of sit with them in that until you can pull the truth out. Love that idea. If you're struggling with your daughter, I would really recommend picking up Winter's book called She Is Yours. It's really good. She also has devotionals for younger girls. I've got them. Also really good. I'll link to both of those in the show notes for this week's show at momstrugglingwell.com. Guys, a few practical ways you could help the show would be to use the show's affiliate link when you shop on Amazon. You can do that by going to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon, and the show will get a little bit of money for your purchases on Amazon, and that doesn't cost you anything extra. I would also love it if you would come join in the fun. I'm telling you what, there are a lot of funny listeners to the show. So find us on Instagram at @momstrugglingwell, especially on Wednesday nights when we talk about Struggle Well Wednesday, what went well and what went remarkably poorly. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, so much of parenting feels like a gigantic question mark, or like the emoji with the little guy's top of his head blown off. Thank you also that you don't mind when I talk about emojis in prayers. But really, Lord, parenting is kind of mind-numbing, mind-blowing. Oh, it's hard, but it's so, so good. For those of us with hormonal kids, especially when those cycles line up with ours, wow. Pray that you'd help us to hold our peace, to be deep in prayer, be in your word, be spending time with you. So when those waves come, we do not just get tossed around like it says in James. Thank you that you've given us everything that we need. Help us not to trust the lie that that's not true. Because if you say you've given us everything we need, you have. I thank you for Winter and what she's done and all the resources that she's created. And I pray that they will be such a blessing for these women who are listening. Thank you, God, for all the different ways that you have equipped each of us to serve your body. In Jesus' name, amen.
You and I are like birds of a feather, flying so high whenever we're together. I got your back no matter the weather. Being best friends makes everything better. Wherever you go, I'll go too. How about a field trip? trip to the zoo. We can hop around like kangaroos. I can be anything when I'm with you. Rain or shine, all the time till the end. You're my very best friend.